Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachyomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. I invite you to join me at the Zoom Tehillim Siyum on Monday, June 21st at noon Eastern Daylight Time, where we will be joined by a number of our beloved Tehillim educators. Sign up at ou.org/women/Siyum. I look forward to seeing you there. And now for today's Perek.
Hello. My name is Abby Lerner. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Psalms, Perek 146. Before we begin a discussion of some of the elements of our chapter, I want to discuss in general the five prakim that end the book of Tehillim. Actually, the last six, starting with chapter 145, which is the main text of Ashrei, which we recite three times a day in our prayers. Tehillim is actually the backbone of our Siddur in more ways than one. Beginning with chapter 145, we say these prakim as part of our morning prayers each and every day, 365 days a year. So don't be surprised if the words have a familiar ring. Secondly, not only are the chapters part of our prayers, I hope through our discussions to show you actual verses that made their way into our Siddur in other places. I hope that this will give us a greater appreciation of the Sefer that we are concluding, King David's masterpiece, Tehillim. As we wind down the book of Tehillim, we find that our last five prakim each begin with the word Hallelujah. Almost a commandment to praise God. We are not discussing history or turning to God with the pain of the human condition, as many prakim do. Rather now, return to Hashem to praise Him for all He does and all that we appreciate about Him. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, who loves wordplay, understands that the word Hallelujah also contains within it an aspect of self-reflection. Indeed, when we praise someone, or even God, that praise is a reflection of whom we are and what our values are. After all, what have we chosen to praise? That's often a statement about ourselves. Halali nafshi, we read in the first verse of our perek. It doesn't say ahalel, I will praise. Rather, our verse refers to nafshi, my soul. Why? There's a beautiful allegory that tells us how God created man. Imagine a glass blower. He takes the material with which he will create the vessel. He already has an idea in his mind of what he wants to create. On some level, the vessel already exists in the mind of the glass blower. He fills his mouth with air, ruach, or we might say spirit. And so all the air, the shape of the vessel, is now inside the mouth of the glass blower. He attaches his mouth to the material that will become the vessel and begins to blow. Nishima, nishama, breathing into the material. The air is blowing around in the vessel until the glass blower is finished. And then, when he is finished, the air ceases to move. It rests. Vayinafash, nefesh. You realize that every one of us human beings started as an idea in God's mind, so to speak. We are part of Hashem, our nefesh, our soul is the very breath of Hashem. Who better to praise Hashem than the nefesh that understands Hashem best? Because it is Hashem. Hirsch writes about this and says that it is the soul that can recognize the one quote-unquote invisible personality that is the cause of everything in the world, because of its similarity to that invisible personality. Thus the soul can recognize him through these phenomena and events and declare his greatness in terms of them, writes Hirsch. Halali nafshi. We'll come back to this concept. Second verse, Ahalala Hashem b'chayai, azamra lelokai ba'odi. I will praise God with my life, b'chayai. Or as long as I live, I will sing to God with my existence. Ba'odi, ode, as long as. The word ad means until. Idan means time. The basic meaning of this verse is that I will praise God as long as I live. I can praise God until my dying moment. I grew up in the shul of Harav Avigdor Miller Zatzal, who, if he would pass the cemetery, would proclaim as a lesson to himself from another parak of Tehillim that we say is part of Hallel, Lo ha-meitim yahaleluka, velo kol yordei duma. Hashem, those who are gone here in this cemetery cannot praise you, nor those who have descended into darkness, but I can praise you because I'm here. Another very important interpretation of this verse is that, quote, my very existence will serve as praise to God. My very life, azamra lelokai ba'odi. What am I doing in my life through my day-to-day existence that in itself serves as a praise to my Creator? Every act of mine at home, at work, while traveling, in my encounters with others, in my appreciation of what I have, even when I'm alone, all serve as a praise of Hashem. Ahalala Hashem b'chayai. And then the psalmist reverts back to our image of the creation of man. In verse 3, he tells us not to rely on a divim, which can mean either those of nobility or those who are generous, philanthropists. Ein lo teshua, they have no power to save. Why? Back to the creation story, verse 4. When the ruach, when the spirit leaves them, they return to the ground from which they were made, and their strength and ability to plan is lost. Avdu eshtinotav, referring to the planning or sense of being in control. There is an unraveling of the glassblower analogy. Teitse rucho, yashuv la'admato, his spirit leaves man and he goes back to the earth. Man returns to his initial components, and in so doing, his strength is lost. There's no unraveling of God, God forbid. He's not made of different components. That's one of the things that we intend when we say Hashem Achad. God is not a smaller part of something bigger, and he is not composed of smaller parts. He is one. Notice the poet David, working with the sounds of the words tshua, ein lo tshua, in the third verse, and the word eshtenotav, we talk about that his planning ability is lost in the fourth verse. Psalms, indeed all the books of Tanakh, are not just about content. They're also real literature, employing all the literary devices of rhyme, parallelism, alliteration, that make our Sfarim not only a source of moral lessons, but a real pleasure to learn from on a sensory level and on an intellectual level. Fortunate is the one who does not rely on human beings, but rather the God of Jacob, who is his source of help and his source of hope and yearning, right? Ene, we learn in Ashrei, Ene kol elecha yisaberu. And here we say sivro, same word, just the bet is soft with a v sound instead of a b sound. Sivro al Hashem elakav, his yearning and his hope is toward God. Verse 6, it is the eternal God, creator of heaven and earth, the seas and all in them, who guards the truth. It is he who ultimately creates justice for the oppressed, food for the hungry, who releases those who are unjustly incarcerated, either by man or by the limitations of their own bodies or, God forbid, disease. As we look at verses 7 and 8, please notice how these phrases have made it into our Siddur. These are the very words we use when we say our morning blessings upon arising. Matir Asurim. He frees those who are incarcerated, bound in. Pokeach Ivrim, opens the eyes of the blind. That's us after a night of sleep. Zokef Kifufim, he makes those who are bent over. Zokef, straightened. Zakuf, straightened out. Some of these phrases are seen an additional time on Shabbos and Yontif when we recite Nishmat Kol Chai. The phrase Matir Asurim and Zokef Kifufim appears there as well. Hashem protects all the underdogs of society. Certainly a lesson for us to imitate him in this way. He protects strangers and converts, a subject which is very personal for David, whose great-grandmother was Ruth, the greatest convert of all time. He strengthens the orphan and the widow and will destroy the evil ones in order to protect all of us. Hashem shomer et gerim. He watches the convert, yatom, the orphan, the almanah, the widow, yaodeid, he strengthens. V'derech rishaim yaavet, he will destroy the path of the evil ones. On a literary level, often David alludes back to the previous perek. Here, too, there are phrases that are reminiscent of Perek 145. Take a look for 1 second. In Ashrei, Einei Kol Elechi Yisaberu, everybody yearns towards you. Sivro Al Hashem Elokav, in our Perek 146. In 145, the Perek of Ashrei, Va'ata, Natan Lehem Et Achlam Bi'ito, you give them their food in the proper time. And in our Perek 146, Notein Lechem L'Re'evim, you give bread to the hungry ones. 145, Ashrei, V'zokeif L'kol HaKfufim, you allow the bent ones to be straightened. In our Perek 146, Hashem Zokeif K'fufim, straightens out the bent ones. 145, Ashrei, Malchutcha, Malchut Kol Olamim, U'memshaltecha b'chol davar dar. Your kingdom is there forever, and your rule goes from generation to generation. We say, Imloch Hashem li'olam, may Hashem reign forever, Elokach Tzion dar v'dar. We say to Tzion, your guard will rule from generation to generation. Shomer Hashem et kol ahavav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over, guards all those who care about him, who love him. Hashem, shomer et gerim, we say in our perek. Hashem watches over the stranger, the convert, perhaps who loves God and has demonstrated his God, his love for his God so profoundly. V'et kol harishaim yashmid, God will destroy all the Rasha'im, we say in 145 Ashrei, and in our Perek 146, V'derech Rasha'im Ya'avet, he will undo the path of the evil ones. Finally, we call out, may Hashem reign forever. Tzion, your God will be there generation after generation. Hallelujah. Yimloch Hashem li'olam elakach Tzion dor v'dor. Hallelujah. Sound familiar? The words we end every single Kedusha with, not just on Shabbos, but during the week as well. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.